This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Weekly Dish on MyTalk 107.1. I'm Steph March. I am here with Ms. Alex today.
Hello.
How are you doing, girl?
Oh, we're good. We're good. We're half a cup of coffee in. We're good.
It's officially summer. Welcome
yes.
to summer.
Oh, I love it so much.
Are you so happy?
You know, so can I tell you a super personal thing?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, just
okay,
tell
nobody,
all, tell
nobody
all of
listen.
Us.
Nobody listen
tell
for a minute. I just got to talk to Smirch for a second. So I've been on tamoxifen. Since 2019, which makes your body, one of the side effects is it raises your body heat, your body temperature.
Got it.
And I love the heat. I love the humidity. I live for, it's a part of my personality.
Yeah.
And so for 4 years now, I have not been able to enjoy the heat. It's made me sick.
Oh.
And this, a couple weeks ago when it got hot, I suddenly realized it's gone. Like, I am loving the heat again.
Like,
I
you're feel, back to, your body's back
like
to you.
I feel like I'm myself again.
Oh, yay.
Okay.
So
glad
there
I got
are.
That off my chest.
So you do love, like, the super hot weather.
Love the super hot weather and the humidity.
You love that.
I don't like the dry. Yeah, I was in Palm Springs for spring break, and my skin cannot take that. Oh, God.
Yeah.
No.
I do think that, yeah, there's something good about the humidity for as far as skin goes, but...
Yeah.
I'm just like, I usually want to be the person outside who's like running around or doing the things, and I just get blah. After
I sat outside with my brother yesterday. I had coffee right by the river, and just sweating.
Happy to be sweating.
So happy to be sweating.
Oh my God. Well, and that's.
Sorry, that's kind of a disgusting
thing
to talk about.
Well, it is a good morning for everyone when they love to hear about people sweating. It's the best part.
And their drug use.
Yeah. It's like definitely, I thought Memorial Day weekend was just spectacular.
Perfection.
It was just spectacular. If we can have all that, I mean,
without the fires in Canada.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
They kind of wrecked it for us a little bit, Canada.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt like I drove without doors on my Jeep the entire weekend.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was outside for 5 minutes and my throat was scratchy.
Yeah, I was fine with it. Everyone was like talking about ozone and all the rest. I went for one run and I was kind of like, meh. But there's a lot of cottonwood. Yeah. But still, I felt like canceled it out. I was happy with it.
Good.
So,
good.
And I'm hoping that everyone had great barbecues, and did you do fun stuff for Memorial Day?
We'll talk about it later, but I went it's part of my thing, but I volunteered, as I do, for the kickoff to summer at the Minnesota State Fair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I know, to everyone who hates that we talk about the State Fair in June, that's just deal with it, because I'm going to be talking about the State Fair from now on.
You are, because you are a State Fair head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about something that's going on in town. Let's just talk about Lowry Hill Meats, because that is the biggest, saddest news. And I'm sorry, let's just get it out of the way so we can have a good show and have all upbeat business, sort of.
But I feel like it's sad because I'm worried about them. I'm sad for them, for the dead dream.
Yeah.
But I'll just be really honest. It's kind of like when Nye's went out of business and everybody was like, well, when was the last time you were at Nye's? And for a lot of people, they see Eric all the time for all their meat needs. I get that. For me personally, I don't eat meat. So I, you know, it wasn't.
So Lowry Hill Meats,
for me, it's more about them.
Right. And for, and just to clarify, Lowry Hill Meats is the sort of the artisan butcher shop that was in Lowry Hill.
Amazing and, burgers.
I mean,
when they, when
which is funny because everyone loved those burgers. And I was kind of like, I mean, that's, I did not love the burgers. I did. I just didn't go there for burgers. I went there for meat. I went to go buy cuts and I went to go chat up the chefs who work there. And like, actually, my favorite sandwich was the one with
the ham and butter. Right?
Yeah, the ham and butter with a lot of radishes. I know. But the thing is like, they said we're closing at the end of June. So they have a month to go. And we are, we're closing at the end of June and it's just the business has become unsustainable. And it's a lot of the problem, you know, there's a lot of issues with what happened in the neighborhood. Birch is gone, you know, Patina's gone. You know, just, it's sort of like that whole little bit is just basically they have the liquor store next to them. And then.
Yeah, there's only, I mean, there's only so much business Sebastian Joe is going to bring you.
Right. And it's just, actually, I think Sebastian Joe's is gone too.
What?
No, wait, no, it's not. Can't be gone. I don't know that. I can't confirm that.
Okay.
But the patina is gone. Yeah, I think Sebastian Joe's may be the only thing left over there.
Right, in the hair place.
Yeah.
Well,
and so there's like the hard part with that place is there's not a lot of foot traffic.
Right.
I mean, like it's harder to kind of get to it. There's no parking unless you're street parking.
Yeah.
But I used to go quite a bit because I love their sausages. He was saying that there was a big change, you know, from the pandemic. Obviously, they shut down. They, like everybody else, but then they stayed closed longer too. You know what I mean? Like, and it was just sort of like they would do that transactional thing where you're handing people things.
Yeah, I did that several times.
Yeah. And I feel like there's also this thing where, I mean, the inflation prices are tough on everybody, but I'm going to tell you, when you're doing already upgraded artisan, you know, products, that's going to.
Yeah, your margins are already
tight.
So, so, so thin. So what's going on with the food building, though? Are they going to be okay through that?
That's a different thing. So that's the good news is that they're the LLC, the different company that they created for the Lowry Hill Provisions, which is going to be the salumi and like all like the beautiful cured meats that they took over from Red Table. That is still fine. And that is still going. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to, I think they're going to try to build that business up. And basically, if you think about it, it's they're going to sell it to retailers and restaurants. It's not going to be public facing.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like they're not. I mean, they'll open. They'll sell it there, and they'll likely be able to sell it like as
but
a
no
thing.
Sandwiches,
right?
No steaks.
Well, let's just say this: that Kieran is still trying to figure out. I think what's going on at the food building.
Yeah,
because you know that remains closed. The cafe there remains closed while they're figuring it out, and so trying to figure out what makes sense and what business model is going to go forward. And like you and I were saying earlier, you know. There's a little bit of a worry right now. I mean, there's a little bit of people kind of like watching, you know, layoffs, and tech is definitely having a bubble burst. And there's just, I know a lot of friends who have had, who rely on corporate dollars for assignments and gigs.
Yeah.
And they said that they are kind of feeling like it's very quiet. So I think everyone's buckling down.
That's like the real life versus what we read on CNN, which is, hey, you know, 700,000 jobs added, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, like there's numbers and there's numbers, right? Yeah. And then there's, so I don't know. And I hope that they're, what I love the most about Lowry Hill Meats was like the chit chat, like that you could walk in and you could be like, hey, and I would look at the case and be like, what are you feeling today? I'm like, I really don't know.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, you know. How about this? Or like, have you ever tried doing this? And like, what about this? And they would just throw things out there and kind of help. So I did love that about them.
Yeah.
And well, I will say
it's a solo vino versus.
Yeah. I mean, wine. I don't want to rip on the other places because I definitely still shop there too.
Sure.
But when I knew that I had to have the meat as a centerpiece, like if I knew that that had to be a star of something I was doing, I was going there. But I would say, I'll tell you that the place that I would then go after that is France 44, you know, or the St. Paul Meat Shop in St. Paul.
Okay.
They have that same kind of care and they have that same kind of great quality with whole animal butchery. Mm-hmm. And I think that they do have good, they have less of like the kind of cuts that I wanted, but they have great sausages. They have great, I got a great lamb shoulder from France 44. And so, you know, there are people out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a coastal thing, yeah. Right? I will go for the fish or the really good, you know, crab legs or something along those lines. That's my butchery.
That's your butchery.
And so, yeah, if my coastal closes, it's the same thing. They'll say, no, don't. I know that fish looks pretty today, but here, try this instead. And yeah. So, yeah, I get it.
So pour one out for Lower Hill. You have a month. You can go and... to the Lowry Hill.
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah. And excuse me, you can, they'll end on June 30th. And I assume that they'll have sold out of everything by then. But they're also selling like the tables and the chairs and like they're selling everything in there. So,
yeah. Well, it might be time to have some red meat.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
But they can do my rules.
Yeah, I know.
I break it for the fair. Why can't I break
it for
Eric?
Why can't you break it for them?
Come on, for sure.
All right, you guys, we have a great show today. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the James Beard Awards, which are happening, I think, on Monday or something, or maybe in this
Gotta
week.
Gotta be soon.
Yeah, this week or next week. But there's some interesting things going on. We are going to talk about cocktail patio snacks. And then we also have Matt Kenevan coming on later in the show. We love him.
I'm excited.
We'll be right back. This is the Weekly Dish on MyTalk 107.1. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Weekly Dish. Thanks for joining us this lovely Saturday. Hey, I wanted to make a clarification because I do want to make sure that I get it right. The Lowry Hill guys did not take over the Red Table business. That they just... Red Table Meats, you know, they closed their business and shut it down. And then Lowry Hill took over that space and started a completely new business. So they're not joined up. But I just wanted... Because I love Red Table and I think that, you know... Of course, I'm always hopeful that they're going to come back someday, but Lowry Hill is a separate entity. So I just want to make sure I clarified that. All right. We are going to talk a little bit about what is happening in the James Beard Award area. Because it's a weird space this week. Now,
that's a gross topic.
I know. Well, it's just very hard. It's really interesting. And I know we've talked a lot on the show about, you know, what does James Beard mean to chefs and like what's kind of the point behind it. And it is... I mean, and if you're a close listener, maybe you won't know that I get frustrated with it. I don't, you know, I don't have any clean lines around it, but I get frustrated with it because I feel like sometimes we put so much emphasis on this entity made of people that is sort of like got all its own algorithms for choosing the best. And then we all go, okay, well, those are the best.
Right. Is it a committee? It's a committee.
It is, but it's you don't really know. There's no real transparency on how that committee works. And there's no, we don't know, is it weighted? We don't know, are there points given? We don't know if they vet people to prove, like, there's no. Right. When I had 1 year, I think, or 2 years of being a voting person in the way, way back. And it was like, to me, the hardest part was they said, it's an ethical thing that says that you shouldn't vote for a place you've never been. Obviously, but you could. I could vote anywhere in the country. Right. That was the old way. And that was like nobody asked for receipts or anything, which I felt like if you're a voting member, I feel like you should be able to like show a receipt that you've actually been to a place.
Right. I assume that if you vote on the Oscars, you've seen the movie.
Right.
So.
Right.
I mean, but. Have they? I don't know what the rules for the Oscars are.
Well, I don't either. But I do know that there is... I do know that the situation with the James Beard is that they've gone through an overhaul, or they're trying to overhaul themselves. And I know that there's been a lot of... while the world is looking at behavior of professionals, they are looking at, you know, sort of the collective celebration and representation. And so the idea is that they have sort of been reforming themselves in real time to, you know, kind of pull more people in, be more diverse, recognize different kinds of food, not just be white tablecloth. They're evolving as the restaurant world itself is evolving. Let's be very clear.
Right.
We're all... You know, there are people who are doing amazing things in diners. There are chefs and, you know, restaurateurs who are in a food truck and they have some, you know, like crazily inventive and, you know, world-changing cuisine. Right. So why shouldn't the place that honors that then also change? So I'm there for that. The problem is that of late, so what happened is they canceled their own awards in 2021 or 20, was it 2020 or 2021? 2020 was canceled.
And then 2021 just never happened.
Never happened. Right. But they basically canceled the 2020s because You know, they said that it was, you know, the turmoil in the industry, of course, is one thing, but mm-hmm. the things had been voted on the year before already. So it was really 2019's awards that they're
giving. It was pretty controversial that they canceled.
Yeah. But the controversy sort of also leaked out that it was because there were no people of color who had won.
Exactly.
And so they were saying it's not right to do that. And so they canceled it. There's a lot of feelings. They're kind of trying to come back and be more ethical, be more sustainable. They're trying to think about who gets the medals, and it's not just for like maybe a plate of chicken, mm-hmm. but maybe it should be about your humanitarian side too, or your personhood is the thing, I guess we're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
So the New York Times wrote a great article. Julia Moskin and Brett Anderson wrote this pretty great article called, you know, the James Beard Foundation, whose award honor chef is now investigating them. And what's interesting is what I've heard is that they are now, if someone is nominated, there's now a discussion and there has to be sort of a vetting of who, if they're in the nomination process, they have to have people who can step up on the committee and say, yes, I think they're a good and honorable person. And then that has its own problems. But then there's also a tip line. Like a tip line is like a phone in tip line that is open. And so that if someone does have issues with someone, they can anonymously call in and say, this person should not be nominated because they yell at their guests or they yell at their team.
Right.
And then that chef gets investigated. And that's basically what this whole thing is
by
about.
By the James Beard Foundation, which is insane.
Which is really weird.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm sorry, would you like to have this award? Oh, also,
are you a jerk?
Are you a jerk? And we're going to investigate you just in order for you to be able to get this award, which I don't know if that's a thing. Like, is that a thing that people want?
Well, and the tip line is so problematic. Yes, you want to believe people, but also someone could have just gotten fired and, hey, I hear that they're up for Jay's.
I
don't know. I don't know the solution to any of this. Let's just be clear. But
and there's
I also
anonymity.
Don't like that.
Yeah. I think the hard part, too, is they were talking about how the article was interesting because they said that because they do want to make sure that they are anonymous. They're not trying to out anybody. They're not trying to report on anybody. I'm sorry.
They were talking about how the process is not transparent. And so, but it is. So what they were saying is if someone gets investigated and found to be more likely than not that they were a jerk and they're no longer eligible for the prize, their name is not taken off during the ceremony. Their name is not taken off the ballots because the James Beard Foundation is saying, we don't want to call them out. Well, if whatever you found is so bad that they no longer are deemed qualifiable for this award, then shouldn't you be calling them out? And also, because what they're saying is if we pull their name, then everyone knows, oh, they're the ones who were found out to be a jerk.
Well, and then, and basically they're not like reporting on things. They're just following up and like doing an investigation, but we don't know what kind of investigation. And I think what's interesting to know is like when the Times and when the journalists do big investigations, when they break through, you know, like
the Me Too thing.
Yeah. Then they are spending hours and hours and hours and they're vetting sources and they're fact checking and they're going through that process, which is required in order to then, you know, tell the truth.
Right.
And they don't put out rumors like, that you know what I mean, and so
they don't go by a one tip,
right? Mm-hmm. And so they work really hard, and I just feel like is the James Beard Foundation now going to commit to doing that same amount of work in order to then hold this standard? And here's the bigger question: should they?
Well, what is the standard?
I know
because everyone there's obviously lines in the sand, but you know, hence the Me Too movement, but. Is somebody yelling in the kitchen? I don't know. I don't have an opinion about this. But what is the standard? And who gets to decide that standard? And as an eater, as a diner, who might look at, okay, who's a James Beard, which I'm not, what I need to know that.
Okay, we're going to continue this. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back because I want to ask you a
little
bit about...
We have feelings.
We've got feelings. We'll be right back. This is the Weekly Dish on My Talk 107.1. Get a taste. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Weekly Dish. Thanks for joining us. I'm Steph March. I'm here with Alex Lohner today.
Hey.
And we are talking about the James Beard Foundation Awards, which are, I think are happening today. I mean, when I looked at it, I think it's this weekend, you know? It says the ceremony date is June 3rd, 2023, but that feels like you should to do it on a Monday.
I thought so.
Yeah. But anyway, so here's the thing that is, we're talking about this article that came up in the New York Times, but I've been watching it, you know, unfold over the last couple months, because it's sort of once the nominees are finally announced, you know, then the finalists, that's when everyone kind of gets the feelings into their spaces. And what's happened is like, and if you missed the first part, we talked a little bit about how the foundation is trying hard to be ethical and support so that they don't get caught up in, you know, anointing best chef and having this person be a problematic, you know, jerk. They don't want the Mario Batali syndrome thing to happen.
Right. I think there's a long way between only nominating white men.
Yeah.
And investigating every single person that one tip comes through.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they made that jump so quickly. Like, you can realize you've not honored diversity, and that you're not honoring the restaurant industry the way the restaurant industry really looks today. And you can make a decision that you need to be more careful about that. But that was a really big leap.
Yeah, I think that they're, well, okay, so,
like, was that a problem that there was a whole bunch of jerks being nominated?
I think yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they had a few people who were being nominated. Well, and as soon as, you know, the Me Too movement started coming out, and there were so many notable people who were, you know, kind of identified as abusers.
Right.
And then it became a place where, I mean, everyone had to look at the industry again. And here's what I'm going to say is that I don't think it was a bad thing to have everybody look at the industry again in that way. I think I have talked to many chefs who have said, God, I can't, the way that I grew up in the industry, I cannot run my kitchen that way. And for a lot of them, the vast majority of them recognize that as that's a good thing. You know, it's a hard thing to understand that when you've been through sort of the paces that you feel made you into something important and good and
right
and, you know, solid and successful, it's hard to then turn around and say, I'm not going to use those same techniques because I want to help. This is the way that I learned and this is what I know. And then I want to help this next generation get to that same place as I do.
Right.
But not realizing that the abuse really wasn't the part of it that made it the good stuff. Like, that didn't. Right.
And even if you believe that it did.
Right.
Okay. Well, life changes.
Well, and different generations have different generations feelings change. About
Absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely.
And we're on the cusp. And right. So.
We don't spank our children anymore.
Right. I was talking to them about that. Was it's like, remember when you got chased with a spoon? Yes. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. So I do think, though, that there's a lot of validity in the fact that this has changed, that this entire thought process has changed kitchens to make them more. That has made them healthier. And I think that's a great thing. I just think that that there's going to be some bumbling around all of this, because what I don't like is not really being able to have, I don't like the shadowy stuff where, for instance, this, the person who was investigated and found to be taken off the, it was a Southern chef in the South.
Guy. Yeah.
Who was said, you know, we were talking about this, but they basically said, you know, you're removed from winning the award, but we don't want to be the ones who out, we're not like publishing an investigation.
Right.
We're not going to take your name off the ballot. We're not going to take your name off press releases. You can go to the ceremony.
Right.
You're just not going to win. So it's up to him. And so this chef was like, well, I'm not going to stay quiet about this. You know, like, it was up to him to be the person to out the process and say this, but that's even like stranger that so then an someone who they found that is likely an abuser could go and glad hand and still get all the press coverage and get all the good parts of it.
Well, now he's in charge of the narrative. He's in charge of the narrative because he's the one talking to the New York Times, because, you know, JBF isn't talking to them.
Right.
And so
they didn't say what they found. You didn't say anything.
How is that helping anyone other than, okay, so he doesn't get the win. But like you were saying over break, nobody knows who actually wins. I mean, we know who's nominated. To be nominated is as important as to win, right? That's the mantra. And so if he's still in to the outside world, if he hadn't said anything
for
this article, that's it.
He could
be a horrible, horrible, horrible human being.
Well, and so many people do tend to say, you know, on their things, even if they have one, they say James Beard nominated. And I'm fine with that.
Absolutely.
Because that's also a...
Oh, yeah.
So then are they actually doing anything? That's the question. Is it performative or is it just, you know what I mean? Are they covering their... Oh, I think what it is they're covering their own butts. They're not actually trying to support the change in the industry. They're just covering their butts to say, well, he's not going to win, so he's not going to get an award. And I think that they have to go through this process to understand it.
Yeah.
It's hard to like know what's going to come on the other side of it.
I just feel that it's has been badly executed. I don't know these people, obviously. I don't know that I'm willing to believe yet that they're just covering their own butts or that they're being manipulative. To me, it's kind of, they're just bumbling this thing, like you said, right? They really, it's been going on, the whole only nominating white men has been going on for so long and been so problematic and problematic white men that you can't move, you know, what's the saying?
The
you
needle?
Can't, no, not, but the ship. What's the phrase for the ship?
Yeah, can't turn the ship
can't
that
turn
fast.
The ship that quickly. And well, that's just going
to
be...
And I do think that there's something to say about the fact that the nominating body tends to be... I mean, it's early, you know, the initial nominations are open to the public. So
right.
Anybody can nominate, right?
Right.
But then the voting body is past winners. So if you've only ever over, you know... 50, 60 years, 70 years, if you've only ever been nominating the bulk of the white men, that's who the voting body is going to be. So that's a harder thing. So that's why I understand that when they're adding, trying to get more people in and doing the voting differently and all that kind of stuff, I get it. It's just that it's you're like, I agree with you. It is a harder thing to know.
Well, and why can't we separate the two things? Why can't we acknowledge that there needs to be more diversity and leave the whole...
Well,
and have it be a different process to weed out the
Well, how about
jerks.
This, though? The woman who is on the cover of the story, this Sam Foray, who is a woman chef, and she cooks...
Southeast Asian,
yeah. And she is saying that she's the kind of person that they're trying to get more
exactly.
of into the process. And she's saying that, that basically this way of this anonymous tip line... And then this like again, this investigation into this anonymous tip line is so not, they're not investigating professionals, I don't think. I don't know if they've hired people, but she basically said what she called an interrogation, the investigators asked her about social media posts she had made on both private and public accounts. Someone had sent them to the foundation through the anonymous tip line on the website. The men told Ms. Foray that the posts potentially violated the organization's code of ethics, specifically that they amounted to, quote, targeted harassment and bullying. But she basically, they included a post she said that was part of a domestic violence awareness campaign and others related to advocacy for victims of sexual violence, including vague tweets about people the posts did not name. She said the investigators, you know, we've been talking for 90 minutes about these posts and you don't know who I'm targeting with them. How is that targeted harassment?
Right.
So this again is like, it feels like it's like the feelings that these aren't right, but not being able to really say and put into a real standard.
Right.
Like if that's the case, and don't roll forward until you know,
until you have your very succinct list of standards. And she said that was her only opportunity. That one conversation was her only opportunity to defend herself.
Right.
So they were like, okay, bye. And then they contacted her weeks later and said, yeah, you're good.
You're good. But now she's like,
what? I don't even know if I want to be part of this.
Isn't it weird now that the Times thing has come out and like, what if she wins? Then she feels like, was it because I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
I know.
I don't know. And I don't know how to get to the place where it used to be about food and now it's about personhood and nobody can know anybody's real personhood. Like no one can really, really know, you know?
Right.
And like, there's a whole bunch of that, which is like, we don't give awards for personhood. You do awards for the work you do.
Yes.
Like, you know?
Yes. And that's what I was saying. What's the line between yelling at someone and abusing someone? And it feels like that should have been a pretty easy thing to figure out.
Yeah, I know.
Before you launched.
So the James Beard Awards are this weekend. Our own Sean McKenzie is the only Minnesotan up for the award this year, Cafe Series.
Yeah.
And I think she's an awesome person and
well earned.
She has got great, her work is wonderful and I'm excited for her. I hope she has a great time. So that's in the end. I hope that people who are going have a good time and, You know, I don't know. I don't know where the James Beard Awards will be in the next 5 to 10 years. I don't know, but it'll be interesting to watch. So there you go. Okay, you guys, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. It is the Ask Stephanie portion of the show.
Oh, gosh, so, already?
Yeah, what? If you feel like calling in and telling us the what for on this or how you're feeling about it, or if you're sick to death of hearing about it, that's okay, too. 651-641-1071. We'll be right back. This is the Weekly Dish. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Weekly Dish. We have reached the Ask Stephanie portion of the show, which means you guys give us a call, 651-641-1071. You ask us questions. You can send us a note on the Twitters or on, I'll try to get the Facebooks going, but we're going to first take a call from Sarah. Sarah, are you there?
Yep. Yes, I am.
Awesome. What can we do for you today?
See, I have a daughter who's going to be 15, and she wants to go out for her birthday with a couple of girlfriends, you know, maybe like four of them, out to a restaurant that's fun, that they can dress up, kind of be by themselves. So I don't want to do a Minneapolis, like, drop-off.
Okay.
We live kind of in the western suburbs.
Okay.
Is there any restaurants that you would recommend that fun, kind of classy, not overly expensive, but that would be something that would be unique?
Yeah, okay. That's so funny. So my daughter just turned 16 on Wednesday, and we did the exact same thing. Ooh. She went, they got all dolled up, her and her three friends, and then we took her, so this is in St. Paul, so that's not going to help you, but we took them to Casetta's, which was her choice, and then they sat at their separate table, and we went and sat outside and gave them time, so I'm hearing you loud and clear. Why is the name not coming to me? The restaurant in Wayzata that's kind of more like a cafeteria style, oh my gosh. Grocer's table,
but that's
oh yeah,
that's I think that's
very casual, though.
Yeah, it's that's sort of like a pop in, and especially in Wayzata, that tends to be a lot of people just popping in and walking around and talking to each other. Yeah. But I do think Makanda in Wayzata would be a fun one because like there's all these lush plants and like the patio is beautiful. That might be kind of a fun one to sort of like be tropical but a little bit dressy
and very Instagrammable for the 15-year-old girls.
Super Instagrammable.
Yep. I think that's the main point.
I do absolutely, too. Right? Absolutely. That is your number one space to go.
Right.
I'd also say, if you want to sit, like, if they want to sit on a deck or something like that, kind of, you could do the Six Smith, which is right next door to that, too. They have a little beautiful patio, you know, kind of thing that could be fun.
That's what I was thinking, too, but I didn't know if it was too, not expensive, but not, like,
right.
I didn't know if it was unique.
I think both of them, you can find things that are kind of like, because they could do tacos, but then they could also do, like at Makanda, there's like some really beautiful plates that are just stunning that they could just, you know, that kind of levels up a little bit.
Yeah. And but Six Smith has, I mean, they have great burgers. So they could, you know, they want something fancy, but what does that mean to a 15-year-old girl? Maybe if in her world that means burgers, well, that's going to be on most menus.
Also, what do you think about sushi? Do they ever like to do sushi or no?
That's an idea. I know my daughter likes some. She's not a big sushi fan, but, you know.
Okay. That's not really a dress-up place either. I was just going to say you could do sushi fix in Wayzata, too. That could be fun, too. Okay.
That's crazy fun. Yeah, but I like the idea of think about a place where they can take a lot of pictures. Yeah. And happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. I love that. We did get a question from our friend Bob, and he says, give me an idea, a couple ideas for where to go for crab for someone's birthday that I work with. Where do you go for crab? Like good crab legs or crab?
Isn't that a hard one? That's a really hard one, and I've actually been
thinking about it
because, you know, trying to eat lower carbs and... Where, I don't know, where would you go? I mean, Cove? No.
I would probably go to the Oceanaire because I know that they source nice food.
Yeah.
Or I'd go to like Manny's. I'd go to a steakhouse for crab, quite honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would probably either go to Manny's or the 801 Chop House. Everyone is in love lately with the 801 Chop House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been hearing
downtown.
That. Yeah.
I haven't been to Pittsburgh Blue in a long, long time if you need to be in the suburbs, but I don't have feelings about that. Mm-hmm. So I guess, yeah, I would just go for the fancier steak place. Maybe the Lexington. Go to like the rooftop at the Lexington for that.
Yeah, I think a steakhouse is always your best bet. I always think in terms of seafood. Oh, okay, where do I want to go for seafood? But yeah, that might not necessarily be, because I've been going to the, you know, the pot places, the hot pot places in my neighborhood, but that's not for somebody's birthday.
Yeah, and I don't think like
the Ragin' Cajun places.
Crab, I guess I'm not thinking those.
Right.
The spicy, I'm thinking someone wants to indulge and then dip in some butter.
Absolutely.
I just want to make it at home so that I can control my own destiny with it, but.
100%.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's expensive.
And I don't know where Bob lives, but.
I don't either.
Bennett's. On West 7th is really cool.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Just any place old timey like that.
God, but crab on the grill too. Like when you just do it, like you do like a quick in the thing, and then you sit there and you break your hands apart.
You're inviting me over for that, right?
I just like
we're planning this.
I will tell you, we have a friend named Heather who does that for her birthday often, and you just sort of sit there and eat crab legs, and it's like, dang, I miss that. Like now, I really want that. okay, we have another question. We have Annie on the line. Annie, what's going on today?
Hello.
Hey, what can we do for you today?
Hey, this is Annie. Sorry.
Good.
I was going to ask, if you are a newbie to the North Loop, like which restaurant would you start with?
Ooh.
Wow.
Woo.
That's a loaded question.
Okay, here's what I'm going to tell you to do. I'm going to say, why don't you start yourself off with a crawl? And so I'm going to go first to the Hewing and be in the hotel lobby of the Hewing.
Have a cocktail.
And just have a cocktail and just kind of get the vibe there. Then I'm probably going to walk over to the Monte Carlo, which is across, you know, the street. Mm-hmm. And I might probably have a martini there and just kind of soak in. That's the older side of North Loop.
Chicken wings and green beans.
Yep. And I get usually a martini with my chicken wings. And then you might want to take a stroll to Spoon and Stable, which is just up the block and then down the, and you can sit at their bar too. They do take walk-ins for the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, that's kind of the new North Loop. And then
Maison Margot.
Yeah. And then you might pop over to Maison Margot right across the street for dessert. And or they have a downstairs bar.
They have an
awesome really beautiful
downstairs bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that's a great crawl to sort of get yourself into North Loop. Another place that I would say is really interesting and fun is Sanjusan, which is, you know, Kara no Misa, which is that building, sort of, it used to be called Origami, but it's Italian and Japanese, and that's kind of a nice way to, like, think about, like, opening your mind to what's the potential for that street.
And if you're going to be in that corner, Billy Sushi.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, boy, you're in the Mecca.
Yeah.
So.
Where have you been to any of the places yet down there?
I have not. I'm just a Google monster, so I like to kind of look up new restaurants and stuff. So.
Okay,
I want to go with
Annie,
you. Let's crawl.
If you do that crawl, you need to report back for sure.
For sure.
Okay, good luck.
Yeah, thanks, ladies.
You bet. All right, we also have Robert on the line. Robert, what's going on today? What's your question?
Hey, I used to go to Grandma's Saloon and Eatery and got a really good Monte Cristo sandwich.
Ooh.
Deep fried. Now it's really hard, or I haven't been able to find one. And I was wondering, do you have any recommendations on where to get a good one? And then before you answer, that episode where you kept saying chocolate. I rewind that over and over again. It's so hilarious. Now I'll wait for your answer.
I love that episode.
The last time I saw a deep fried Monte Carlo. Monte Cristo is at Bunny's in St. Louis Park. I can't not guarantee that they still have it, but they know how to do sandwiches over there.
Have you done that one, Robert?
No, I haven't. No.
What about also Keys? Keys Cafe, I feel like.
Do they deep fry it?
I think so. Maybe. I'm just that's
kind of so hard
to
find
right
one deep fried. Now it's more so just like the focaccia or the kind of the bread.
Yeah,
and they don't do it like the way that grandma's did.
Oh man. Okay. You know what? I'm going to put this out. Let's send this out to the listeners. If anybody knows of a really great
your Monte Cristo.
Yeah. See if anyone has like a really awesome Monte Cristo they want to vet for you, and we'll stay tuned.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, pal. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
That's a good dinery. I know the whole sugar on top thing is a weird sweet to savory thing for me, but I do love the concert of flavors. Like the moment is very specific. And there was one that I had. I have to think about this, Robert, because there was one that I had within the last year.
Really?
Yes, I think so. And
it's kind of a 90s throwback.
I know.
Yeah, get some chocolate lava cake with it. You're good to go.
A chicken Caesar salad.
Hey, don't
Italian not. Dunkers. Oh man, yeah, I don't know. What's your biggest nostalgic food? For breakfast. Cereal.
For breakfast?
Yeah.
Oh, I love me a good
Everybody's
cereal.
Everybody's brunching breakfast. Right now, so you got to think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. I want to start a whole, you were talking about crawls. I would love to start a whole summer brunching.
Brunch crawl. All right. Maybe that's a thing we can do.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, we're going to take a quick break and come back with that second hour. So stay tuned. This is a weekly dish on My Talk 107.1.